In the name of the one holy and living God. Amen. Perhaps these words from the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer are familiar to you. From lightning and tempest, from earthquake, fire, and flood, from plague, pestilence, and famine, good Lord, deliver us. From all oppression, conspiracy, and rebellion, from violence, battle, and murder, and from dying suddenly and unprepared, good Lord, deliver us. These words from the traditional Great Litany are chanted often at the beginning of Lent. And in this time, which feels so much like perpetual Advent and perpetual Lent, all kind of rolled up into one ball with a little bit of Easter kind of glimpsed here and there, in this time, over the last 12 months, I've been fervently praying these pleas to God over and over again. These petitions are not abstract for those of us who are paying any attention. And these petitions, which perhaps once seemed like someone else's cry from places far away, they've left none of us untouched. The natural disasters that roll like tides through different parts of the United States, fires here, floods there, hurricanes here, the coronavirus that has brought plague and death to practically every doorstep across the globe, and the violence and famine and unnecessary death that we see in developing countries and American suburbs alike, have us on our knees. Good Lord, deliver us. So here we are, starting the journey of Lent, and it is this time each year that we acknowledge and celebrate and give thanks for the work of Episcopal Relief and Development. But it's Lent, so it's the time each year that just as we are yearning most deeply for spring and new life, that we choose to ritually walk into the wilderness, the desert, and the dry, parched places and encounter the evil one head on. It is not an easy journey if we are really paying attention. And I've wondered, perhaps, if this isn't why we celebrate the work of Episcopal Relief and Development at this time of the year. Perhaps it's because they choose to go to the places that are burned and hollowed out, that are dry and parched, that have been flooded and consumed, places where environmental evils have exacted a toll, places where God's beloved still seek to rebuild and live and thrive in the midst of challenging circumstances. Places and circumstances where the cry, "Good Lord, deliver us," has seemingly gone unheard. Almost 8 years ago, I had the opportunity to travel on a pilgrimage with Episcopal Relief and Development, with their director, Robert Radke, and Episcopalians from across the United States to see their work in Ghana. Now, having previously traveled to South Africa, many had reminded me, well, you know, you've not really been to the real Africa. You've got to go to those places that are the hard places. So I'll confess that the one piece of fear I had about the trip wasn't the long flight or anything. It was, you know, having to come face to face with encountering a world that I could not be curious about if I chose, places where folks did not have the comforts that I so much took for granted as a Westerner. So I remember traveling up the rutted road up to Bulgatenga, part of Ghana, to see the effects of the Nets for Life program. Remember that? All those nets that we raised funds for to help prevent malaria? Well, having seen those nets in action, I could no longer pretend not to know. There was a woman who I took a photograph of, who I look at often in this picture, a woman who held a baby on her hip, and she showed me the nets hanging from the roof of her thatched roof mud hut. And we didn't speak the same language, but she showed me the ways in which those nets were saving her life and making a future. So then I had to come face to face with, here I am stressing over whether my kid has non-organic, unpainted wooden toys to play with back home. Yeah, I had to do some inward work. We then visited a cooperative where young girls and women learned to crack open the nuts and laboriously hand stir its contents into shea butter, and to see what was like this miracle of economic development lifting women and children out of poverty. And it made me rethink what opportunity really means and what the development in Episcopal and relief and development can really do. Here were glimpses of deliverance. Priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that Lent is the time for us to understand our own emptiness and need for God. And all God desires is that we would make room for God to live inside each of us. And then that we would make more room. That we would live a life that is always about making more room for God. I believe that this making room for God also allows us to make room for others. And Lent is the time to sit with the discomfort we have in making room for God and for God's love, because, I mean, maybe it's just my fear, but often it's a fear that God might not really love the whole of us, the places in us that want to pretend not to know. And the really hard part can be that we choose to seek that discomfort of our interior life when there is real discomfort in the world and in our own lives. Real suffering, real hunger, real starvation, real death, real grief. But Lent still comes, and it comes with its demand that we deal with our own stuff and not avert our eyes from the suffering of others, or the real suffering that exists out in the world around us. We cannot help but be connected to the brokenness that is experienced on the other side of the globe, or down the street, or in our own homes. We are all connected. And Lent gives us an opportunity to really remember that. And if that's true, if we are really that kind of connected, then our prayers and our inward gaze become about far more than just us. We see the traumatic events of the day and we pray, "Good Lord, deliver us," and "Lord, have mercy." And all the while, we are preparing our hearts for a deeper appreciation of mercy, God's mercy, Christ's mercy. And maybe more than mercy, we're preparing our hearts for a deeper appreciation of the good news, the gospel itself. So just a quick word about the Gospel of Mark. The 8 verses that we are given every 3 years on the first Sunday in Lent gets right down to it. And if you weren't paying close enough attention, you might miss it. So quickly, Mark has packed more action in these 8 lines than a clip from The West Wing. So Jesus comes out of Nazareth in Galilee, is baptized by John, affirmed in his identity as beloved of God, has the Spirit descend on him like a dove, is driven into the wilderness by that same Spirit, where he is tempted by Satan, waited upon by the angels, and hanging out with the wild beasts. He then leaves there after 40 days, and then comes to Galilee, where, and this is where things pivot, gotta watch it, instead of things happening to him in the past tense, Jesus claims agency, and time is now different as he proclaims the good news, which is this: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Or, to put it in the vernacular, the time is now. God's world is piercing and breaking into our earthly world. Turn your life around and get with the program. And so begins Jesus' public ministry, which, as we delve more deeply into Mark's gospel, is a ministry of healing and making people whole. It's mercy. It's mercy. This, too, is what Lent is for. God is deeply present and calls us, like Jesus, to be a part of the healing. Perhaps that's what we love about Episcopal Relief and Development so much, whether we are traveling with them or praying with them or ordering goats or whatever it is. It's a part of the healing, to help in our small way to make the world whole, which means that we don't give up on this world. God put us here and calls us to pay attention and work together to help reshape the world to reflect God's dream for it. To use our voices and our gifts, our time, our relationships, our love for one another to amplify the proclamation that God's kingdom is breaking through. God's kingdom is breaking through. Deliverance. Have a blessed Lent. Amen.